Hi, good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 18th floor here, Skyline Studio in downtown Chicago. How you doing? 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. And I'm your overnight dude from 1 to 5 a.m. And we'll be here till 5. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Tuesday. That means it's 2 for Tuesday.
You're married 2 for Tuesday.
That means get your requests in now for the bumps. One artist, two songs. Get them in now. We'll play them later. 2 for Tuesday, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. And coming up in just a couple of minutes here, Tom Appel is going to join us for his monthly visit. He's the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive and contributor to their Daily Drive blog. If you have any automotive or car-related questions, if you're looking to get or lease, buy a new or used car, if you have any automotive-related questions whatsoever and you need some advice, Tom is here to answer the questions, so you should call and text right now to get your car and automotive questions in to Tom. Again, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for all car and automotive-related questions for Tom. Then coming up a little bit later on after the 2 o'clock news, Will Beiersdorf is going to join us. He is the executive director of the Road Home Program at Rush. It's a program that provides support and counseling, mental health care services. It's there to help veterans and their families heal and cope with the invisible wounds of war. They've been around for a while, and it's a great, great organization. You can check out roadhomeprogram.org for more information. We'll talk with Will about this organization, some of the events that are coming up, and how you can be a part of it. And we are going to be talking about words that you use, but you probably actually don't know the meanings of. We got some word stuff to talk about and some food stuff to talk about as well, which we always love to talk about here on the show. Again, it's Tuesday morning. Get those 2 for Tuesday requests in. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. You can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. But the best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page, and that's facebook.com/Nick D Show. And you can also subscribe to our podcast. Every single second of each show here is podcast. And you can subscribe. It's free. Go to iTunes or where you get your podcasts, and it'll automatically be sent to your device, and you can listen at your leisure, bro. So 312-981-7200, phone number for talk, text, questions about cars or automotive-related questions, and you need some advice. Tom Appel is going to be joining us in just a couple of minutes. So there you go. All right, let me say hello to my great producer, Dan Shigru. Hi, Dan.
Howdy, Nick.
How are you?
All right, man. How about yourself?
I'm all right. I'm all right. 2 for Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Ready to go.
Yeah.
And all kinds of cool stuff happening. And in the newsroom is Vic Vaughn. Hi, Vic.
Hey, good morning, Nick.
How are you, man?
What'd I miss? yeah. How you doing,
sir? You missed three movie critics ripping apart Bohemian Rhapsody.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, did you see it?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I was one of those
three. Okay.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, I hated it. Yeah, I hated it. And that, you know, most, you know, made a lot of money over the weekend, and a lot of people really like it, but it is incredibly inaccurate and filled with lots of lies.
I have heard some critics talk about inaccuracies.
Oh, it is. And I, you know what? And I'm obviously familiar with biopics and true stories,
sure.
And they're going to take dramatic license. There's no question about it. And I never expect it to be. I never expect a movie about a person, a real person, or about a real event to be 100% accurate. But I don't expect it to each scene to have some sort of lie in it. Like this one did. It's kind of unforgivable how they handled this.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it made me angry. But the music's great, but it's because it's Queen.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I saw it in IMAX, so it sounded good. So at least there was that. But I could have stayed home and listened to my Queen's music at home and not sat through a terrible movie.
You know, I did on a. I watched a Netflix show called
House on Haunted Hill.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, man.
I screamed out loud so many times I can't even. Jeannie and I binged watched that thing.
Yeah.
I think we watched 5 hours straight in one sitting and then pieced it together. We couldn't stop.
I watched it two. It took me 2 days to finish it. And I mean, as you know, I'm a big horror fan, and that's good stuff, man.
I almost stopped after the. I loved the first episode.
Yeah.
And then the 2 and 3, I thought, that tapered off. But then, wow, man, it came back strong.
I know. It's good stuff, man. It's really, really good stuff. And you had yesterday morning off because you went to celebrate with your son how well he did playing football this past season.
Yeah, he and his team wrapped up the season. I want to say they were 7-1, I
Ooh,
think.
Wow.
Yeah, they did really well.
That's cool. All right. Well, you're back, and you're in the newsroom all morning.
Yes, sir.
And it's Tuesday, so there's Vic is back. Dan is here. We are all here until 5 a.m. To keep you entertained and all kinds of cool stuff. It is obviously Election Day. In just a few hours, the polls will open, and everybody needs to get out and vote. Everybody needs to get out and vote. So that's got to be done today. So, all right. So let's get back to the show here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Again, 2 for Tuesday requests. And your automotive or car-related questions of any kind, call them up now at 312-981-7200. And let us welcome Tom Appel to the show. Hi, Tom.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm very well. Thank you for asking.
Good, good, good. You join us every month to talk about car-related questions, consumerguide.com and cgdailydrive.com. For more information, you can follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. Correct.
Yeah.
All right. Tell everybody about Consumer Guide Automotive, Tom, as we do every month.
Yeah. We've been around since 1967. We were famous for our monthly print editions. Sadly, people stopped buying print, but that was okay because we enjoyed being online, too. So, yeah, all our new car reviews and our used car reviews live at consumerguide.com. We try to have some fun with the news, and that's the stuff over at the CG Daily Drive.
Yeah. We got some fun stuff to talk about in that regard, too, that you wrote, Tom.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that you write that you enjoy writing about limousines. I think that's that is just pretty great. Pretty great. So, well, why don't we let's do this. Why don't we take a quick break, okay?
Okay.
And when we come back, we'll jump right into some of the news, and if anybody's got questions or concerns about automotive related stuff, it's 312-981-7200. Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
All right, Tom Appel is with us, and we'll come back and talk car automotive news and answer your questions. 312-981-7200. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here on a Tuesday morning. 2 for Tuesday. Yeah. Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs. 312-981-7200. And that's also the number to call right now if you have a car-related question or any automotive-related concern. Tom Appel from Consumer Guide Automotive is here. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom, and he's here to answer your questions as well. 312-981-7200. And let's welcome Tom back to the show. Welcome back, Tom.
Thank you.
All right. So we know that there are changes that are made in cars and vehicles all the time.
Yes.
But we have like a whole bunch of things that you can expect or not expect in your next new vehicle. What are some of these changes that happen here?
Yeah, Edmunds was kind enough to put together an interesting list of things that I think that if you're in the biz, you're really not paying attention to. But there's a number of things that are just sort of fading away from us.
Yeah.
And this is a great list because the first one is an ignition key. We sort of remember the General Motors ignition key recall, and that's a thing that we'll never see again because most new cars now come with push button start.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just there's no key to insert any place and no turning of the key. It's just you press a button. You don't even have to hold it anymore, and Lord knows you don't have to pump the gas anymore.
Yeah, it's really crazy.
Yeah.
I used to love, I remember the keys that the square key and the round key, the two keys that you would have for your car. One opened the door, one opened the door, and one started it.
Now, was it a Camaro or a Firebird?
I had a Firebird.
Okay, yeah. All General Motors keys
were
the round key and the square key.
Yep.
And they were kind of a good side. Fours had really weird long keys. They were also kind of round-headed or square-headed, but they were very long and awkward, and I don't know why that was. But, yeah, there's a different one for the trunk and the glove box than there was for the ignition.
Yeah, exactly. So now there's no keys for anything, and you don't even have to – you can't even – if you have, like, a trunk or a hatchback, you don't even have to touch the car now. Get your leg near it, and the thing opens.
Yes. That doesn't work as reliably as it should, but it's usually pretty cool.
Yeah. So no more. No. So now everything is a keyless start, and no more keyed ignition. So don't expect to get any keys anytime soon.
No, that's right.
Yeah. Okay. And what about the startup technology? Stop start technology.
This is a thing, and there are people out there who hate this, mostly auto journalists that complain about this incessantly. But it's not as bad as it sounds. The stop-start technology has gotten much better than it was when it rolled out maybe 8 years ago in limited applications. But for people who don't know, new cars, for the most part now, will shut off when you get to a stoplight or to a stop sign, and will stay shut off until you lift your foot off the brake pedal. The point of this, obviously, is to conserve gas. It usually starts up pretty smoothly, and right as you lift off on the brake, but before you hit the gas, so you don't realize, well, you realize it because you can hear it,
yeah.
But you don't experience any delay in travel or movement.
And has it taken a while for you guys to get used to this? I mean, I've never, you know, had that in a car, and I'd probably freak out and think that I need to, you know, start the car up again.
Yeah, there were a couple of systems that were very bad early on. One of the first systems we experienced was on the BMW 3 Series. And one of the weird things about that particular system was that when the engine was off, the steering didn't work. So you had to either apply a great deal of effort to turn the wheel, which would start the engine, or wait for the engine to start before you could turn the wheel.
Oh, my God.
And in the city, this was a hassle because usually all drivers just sort of instinctively start moving the wheel as they're about to take a corner.
Yeah.
But you couldn't do that until the engine started. But these systems are much better now. All steering is electric now, so it doesn't rely on the engine to be running. That saves gas because it's lighter, and it also works while the car is at idle, or not at idle, but parked.
But parked.
Waiting
for
the engine to kick back in, yeah.
So let's say you're in rush hour traffic and it's bumper to bumper and it's stop and go. So every single time that, you know, you're on the expressway and it's bumper to bumper, your car is going to stop, it's going to start, it's going to stop, it's going to start through that whole trip.
Yes, within certain limitations. In extreme stop-and-go traffic, there are algorithms in some of the systems where it just won't shut off. It realizes that what's happening is just too quick, and it would just frustrate you
right. And
slow down progress, so it won't shut off.
Okay. Now, you said that's in. The stop-start technology is in. And engine idle is out. No more idling engines.
No more. So you don't even have to. There used to be this whole thing where, like, I'm waiting for a train. Should I shut off my engine? And there are all these schools of thoughts about that. And now it's no question. The car's just going to shut itself off.
Yeah. All right. Well, here's an interesting. I used to love. I remember when I was taking driver's ed. I took my driver's ed at Taft here in Chicago, and when we were doing not when we were out on the road doing the road trips in traffic, but when we were just like what did they call it when you were just like in the parking lot of the school driving around, they had a name for it.
What was that called? Yeah,
they had a name. They had a specific name for it. Range. That's what
all
it was.
Right.
It was range. It was, well, at least that's what they call it. Taft. So. And we had, I believe, the cars that we were learning to drive in. So this would be in, what would it be, 1981, maybe? 81, 82, something like that. And the cars that we were learning to drive in were like 77 or, you know, Ford Fairmont, I believe, were the cars that we were learning to drive in. And I remember I got in the car. And it had already been started because someone else, a kid, had already driven it, so they just put it into park, and I got behind the wheel, and it was idling ridiculously high. Like, I mean, ridiculously high. And as soon as I put it into gear, it jerked and went woo, and it looked like it appeared as though I gunned the car. You know, I gunned the car, and the instructor comes up, starts screaming at me. I put the car in park, and he's like, "What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you?" And I'm like, "It's idling really high." And he's like, "Oh, all right, just listen, just gun the gas and park." and so I vroom, park, and then the idle went down. But that doesn't happen. That's never going to happen again.
No, that was probably just a stuck choke.
Yeah.
And if I remember my Fairmonts, that was not uncommon.
No, but I remember I got yelled at, and I'm like, I didn't do anything. The car's idling, you know. Like, as soon as I put it into drive, it just gunned. It just went. I couldn't do anything about it. So, all right, what about this? In turbocharged engines.
Yeah, increasingly. There was a time when the word turbo was bad news for you and your insurance company because they were just going to jack up your rates. And now manufacturers don't even bother to tell you that engines are turbocharged now. But more than likely, your next new vehicle is probably going to come with a small turbocharged engine instead of a V6 or a larger 4. The best part of that is just much better highway mileage. It's not as effective at reducing mileage in the city as the EPA numbers reflect, but it is smaller, it's easier to package, it's overall, it's more fuel efficient, and it's just the wave of the future.
And even big trucks are doing this, right?
Oh, yeah. Most big diesels are turbocharged already anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's fairly common. That's actually, that application has been around for a long time. The big over-the-road diesels have been turbos for a long time.
Yeah. All right, how about the headlights? There's been a change in headlights now.
Yeah, once upon a time we used to just buy sealed beam headlights at Kmart. They were $4 or $5. That has gone away. Replaced by halogen bulbs, which were replaced by xenon gas bulbs, which were expensive for a while. And now LEDs. And LEDs are awesome for manufacturers because they can be packaged in very small areas. They're really great to work with if you're a designer, and they give off great amounts of light. Mm-hmm. They're just really easy to work with. The bad news is if you have an accident, they're intensely expensive to replace.
Oh, boy.
But we'll take the swap. I mean, the greater visibility is good, and the car looking cool is good.
Right.
But, yeah, just try not to hit anything.
I think that's good advice for all the time. So, Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
All right, Tom Appel is with us from Consumer Guide Automotive. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. If you have any car or automotive related questions, he's here to help. And we've got more car news to talk about. 312-981-7200. The news is up after this. All right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio on a Tuesday morning. Two for Tuesday. You bear two for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. We'll play them later on. That number also, 312-981-7200 for talk and text and any and all car or automotive-related questions or concerns. Tom Appel from Consumer Guide Automotive is with us. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. We've got more car news stories to talk about and any questions or concerns that you have at 312-981-7200. After the 2 o'clock news, our guest is going to be Will Beiersdorf, executive director of the Road Home Program at Rush. Veterans Day is coming up, and we want to remember our veterans and thank them for their service. And this program provides support and counseling. They provide mental health care services to help veterans and their families to heal and cope with the invisible wounds of war. It's a great, great organization. And we'll talk with Will about some of the upcoming events and about the organization in general and how people can get involved. That'll be coming up after the 2 o'clock news. All right. Tom Appel joins us every month. Let's get Tom back on the show. Hi, Tom.
Hello.
All right. So we were in the middle of talking about stuff that doesn't exist anymore or new things to do. And now here's one. The tire inflator kits. No more spare tires.
No more spare tires. And this is a funny thing because most people think this is manufacturers getting cheap on us. And that's not really what's going on here. Because we like really cool-looking big wheels and because vehicles need to be lighter, the spare just doesn't really work well. They're fairly heavy, and because they're so big now, we've gone from 13, 14, and 15-inch wheels and tires 20 years ago to 17, 18, 19, and even 22-inch wheels now. They don't fit in a car anymore.
Mm.
So to preserve trunk space, most cars come with an inflator kit instead of a spare tire. You can, in many cases, order a spare tire, but it's going to consume a bunch of trunk space.
Mm-hmm. And what about the tire inflate? Because I remember years ago, it was frowned upon to use those Fix-A-Flat cans.
And that's basically what the kit is.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay. Well, because I had heard that they ruined the tire. Like it's not good, and the Fix-A-Flat thing fills the thing with foam, and it was never really good for the tire or the wheel itself.
Yeah, that is largely correct. There's a lot of problems with tires these days. They last longer than they used to. They're just better in the rain, in the snow and stuff. But one of the problems with tires these days is that because of the anti-lock brake systems and anti-skid systems, it's necessary that all four tires be the same size and be worn down roughly the same amount.
Wow.
So when a tire is ruined, you generally are required to replace all four tires.
Oh.
Which is an incredibly expensive proposition. So, yeah, the ruining of one tire almost doesn't matter because you're really on the hook for all four.
Oh, man. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So, tire inflator kits. All right. Digital instrument panels. Everybody's got digital instrument panels now at this point, correct?
They do, and they're getting crazier. One of the things that's happening now, it's called thin film transistor, but it is a very thin layer of video screen on the dash in front of you, on the instrument panel in front of you. And manufacturers, and Mercedes is probably doing the best job of this, make the most realistic-looking gauges in the world. But if you want to move the navigation system right in front of you, that can just be replace the tachometer or all your other gauges except for the speedometer. It's really great, really configurable in the right cars, and we're going to be seeing more of that.
Yeah.
But old-school actual gauges that move and sweep, yeah, those are going away.
All right. How about this, the electronic parking brake? No more manual parking brake that you have to pull the big handle up.
Yeah, the thing about that is space. There used to be the handle that you'd pull off the center console, or if you go back further enough, you know, you used to use your left foot.
Yeah, right.
And it'd be down in the footwell. And both of those were cumbersome. They took up space. They weighed a lot. So now there's, in a lot of cars, there's just a switch. You just lift it, and you can actually hear it drawing the cable tighter.
Mm, that's interesting. I don't know. Just all this new stuff is kind of freaky. I just haven't driven in a long time, Tom, so all this stuff seems like sci-fi to me.
Well, the thing about that parking brake, too, that's kind of a bummer. If you're a guy that likes to play in the snow, it doesn't work like that anymore. You used to be able to pull a Jim Rockford and just grab the parking brake, and you can make the back end of the car slide out.
That's right.
Which delighted your child and really irritated your wife.
Right.
But you can't do that anymore.
Oh, man. All right. And then finally, manual transmissions. They're all but... they're all but gone, and we've talked about this before. How at this point, young people wouldn't even remotely know how to drive stick.
No, and one of the things about stick, apart from the fact that people just generally aren't interested in driving stick, manual transmissions are completely incompatible with autonomous vehicles, with stop-start systems, and any sort of hands-free driving. So even if we didn't want them to go away, they were probably going to go away.
Yeah. Well, now this brings us to another story about technology. All these new things that have been replaced that we were used to if we've driven for a long time. But now, you know, your repair costs can go through the roof, even if you just have a fender bender because of all this new technology. That's, you're taking the good with the bad there.
Yeah, there's an incredible story about circulated by the AAA. I think it appeared in the Tribune about the cost that's being added, and even light accidents to the maintenance, to the repair costs by the safety equipment that's built into the bumpers and the fenders. And we know this stuff is there. There's the obstacle detection stuff, the pedestrian detection stuff, you know, the brake alert and the adaptive cruise control and all that stuff. Those all involve expensive sensors that are wired into the front bumper or into the grill. And when you have an accident, that stuff gets damaged, and it wildly complicates the repairs and drives up the cost.
And does this happen? The great thing about some of this new technology, if something goes wrong with it, is or if you damage the car or get into an accident. In the old days, would it cost as much, is it more expensive to get these repairs because of this technology?
Oh, it's much more expensive to get these repairs now.
Yeah.
And one of the things, though, is you should be having fewer accidents. So hopefully all this equipment is doing its part and preventing you from having these very expensive accidents.
Right. Wow. Okay, but there's a big number here. $3,000 more in repair costs for a minor fender bender is what they've averaged out.
Yeah, there's that number. There was also a number that appeared, if people are familiar with Jalopnik, kind of a snarky auto news site, they reported an unbelievable figure for the Kia K900, which is Kia's large rear-drive semi-luxury sedan. A front-end collision involving a pretty considerable hit to the left front corner cost an amazing $34,000 to repair.
What?
The car listed for $50,000.
Wow.
Yeah, and there's almost no way that a used Kia K900 is worth that. So I don't really know what happens to the car.
Wow, that's crazy.
It's absolutely absurd.
Oh, my God. A couple of texts have come in, Tom. And by the way, if you guys have any automotive or car-related questions or concerns, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for talking text. So Jesse says, does a vehicle that is considered a lemon start from the manufacturer or a used car lot? And how long does statute of limitations on a lemon vehicle?
A couple of things about that. Lemon law differs by state, and Illinois' lemon law is fairly robust, but it does require some work by the owner of the vehicle. You are required to attempt to have the vehicle repaired 4 times. After the 4th failure, you can apply the lemon law, and you have to go, I think it's to the Secretary of State, can steer you in the right direction to begin proceedings to have your vehicle either to compensate you or have the vehicle replaced. But this all has to happen within 12 months of the date of purchase.
Oh, wow.
So you have 12 months to get this done. Additionally, I think if your vehicle is out of service in the first 12 months for 30 days or more, the lemon law also kicks in.
Okay. All right. Nick says, with this technology, should you allow a car to warm up if the weather is bad outside? Also, will you need a remote start if the car is constantly turning on and off?
The remote start thing is, that's a great question. Right, how does that work then? The car will continue to run until it's fully warmed up. So if you have a remote start on your key fob and you want to start the car while it's on the driveway
yeah.
or out in your garage, it will run at least until the car is warm before it kicks off.
Oh, okay.
So if that's 3, 4, 5 minutes till the car, the interior gets up to 60, 70 degrees or whatever, it'll run at least that long.
Mm-hmm. And the whole thing about warming up a car, you know, that we've all done that, you know, like before the modern technology, we would go outside and warm up the car when it was cold. And then sometimes even if we weren't going to move the car, we would go out like in the middle of the night and, you know, warm the car up in the middle of the night even and then just, you know, let it run for a little while and then turn it off if it was really cold outside. That doesn't have to be done at all anymore.
No, not really. Oil has gotten so much thinner and so much better that it doesn't get cold and clog up the engine. Additionally, the things that used to need to happen for a car to warm up happen very quickly now, and that's largely an emissions concern to make sure that a car is emitting as little pollution as possible. Cars warm up really fast,
and then
it's just basically if you let your car just run for a moment before you pull out, you're good.
Okay, all right. Hey, by the way, I didn't ask. I forgot to ask at the top here. What have you been driving lately?
Oh, this is the day to ask me that question.
Yeah.
I just this evening, I got into the 2019 Ford Mustang Bullitt.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. For people who don't know, this is a tribute car based on the movie Bullitt.
Yeah.
Based on the 68 Mustang GT driven by Steve McQueen in that movie. So the new Bullitt is the same color.
It's green. It's green,
It's
right?
green,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's so cool, man.
Yeah, it's a good-looking car. And the interior, the seats are fluted, which looks really 60s. It's great.
Oh, man, you're driving a cool car.
Yeah, this is exciting. I only have it for 2 days. I'm kind of bummed out.
Oh, all right. Well, what did you drive before that? What were you driving before that?
I was driving another crazy car. I was driving the 2018 Dodge Challenger Scat Pack 392.
Jeez.
It's Scat Pack RT. Let me do this again. Okay. Dodge Challenger RT Scat Pack 392. That's the name of the vehicle.
That's a mouthful.
It is essentially the cheapest way to buy a Dodge Challenger equipped with a 6.4-liter V8, which is a bunch of engine.
Hmm.
So,
and how was
yeah,
that? How's kind that, how's
kind
that
of an
drive?
Enthusiast favorite.
How's that to drive, then?
That is a blast to drive. However, this weekend was wet, and my neighborhood, which is covered with trees, packed with trees, I was just driving around a neighborhood where all the roads were just covered with wet leaves, which is kind of like ice. So, yeah. it was either entertaining or dangerous.
Okay. All right. Al sends in a text, says, has Tom ever test-driven the Toyota Avalon? Are there cheaper cars on the market that provide a better ride than the Avalon?
Wow. The Avalon is an almost perfect car if you have no interest in driving something fun. The Avalon is just redesigned for 2018. It's basically a Toyota Camry that's been stretched. but it's a little bit upscale of that. We love the Toyota Avalon at Consumer Guide. Mm-hmm. It, all sorts of room for four passengers, great highway car, typical Toyota build quality, very nice car. Couldn't recommend it highly enough. Again, it's not fun to drive. It's just very quiet, predictable, reliable, roomy, and relatively fuel efficient.
Okay. 815 area code says, I'm seeing a surprising number of ads on TV for Ford cars. Is Ford backpedaling on dropping their car models?
No, not at all. Ford is clearing out its inventory of cars. I was just at a meeting hosted by Ford, and their crossover program is in play, and they will be dropping most of their car models.
Okay. 847 says, Tom, I have a Honda Fit, and I have a decent sized spare and a parking brake. Okay, I guess they wanted to let you know that, Tom.
Yeah, well, the Fit's also a nice car, so he's got a nice car, too.
Okay, cool. Tom, hang on, all right?
Will do.
All right, Tom Appel is with us, Consumer Guide Automotive. You can check out consumerguide.com and follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And if you have an automotive question here, we've got Tom is here for a few more minutes, and we'll have more with him right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're here till 5 a.m. Coming up, Steve Grzanich with the opening bell. And 6 o'clock coming up is Steve Cochran with your morning drive. And also, the stories that matter are coming up with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Tom Appel is with us from Consumer Guide Automotive. He joins us once a month to talk about automotive news and stories and to answer your questions. And let's get Tom back here. Hi, Tom.
Hello.
Okay, we have somebody on the line who has a question, and this is Steve on WGN. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi, Tom. Nick, good morning. Good morning. Tom, great information as always. As you read the many fuel injector cleaners that are out there, the reviews, do you know which one has been proven to work best with gasoline direct injection engines? You know, you have the Tecrons and the Gumouts, the polyetheramine. Has one been proven to be more effective with that type of cylinder technology?
So you're not talking about trying to clean the valves, which is a thing that nothing works with direct injection, just which is the best system?
Oh, no. So the top of the valves are, you're out of luck the way the
right.
engines
okay.
work, so nothing really
exactly.
works.
Yeah, no, I don't recommend a particular one. In the past, I've always been fond of Tecron just because that comes directly from Chevron, and it's they actually make fuel, and that's one that I've heard good things about. But no, I haven't tested them myself. But yeah, Tecron is one I've heard people tell me works pretty well.
Yeah, that has the PEA, and I know the Ford EcoBoost is migrating to the GDI engine, so it's sort of the nature of the beast where there's nothing that's effective other than top-tier fuel and cleaning the cylinder heads. Is that a fair statement?
Good gas, for anyone who's listening, good gas is always the easiest way to keep your injectors clean. Yeah, if you've heard of the brand name of the gas, you're better off.
Okay. All right,
okay,
Steve.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, buddy. Take care. All right, and let's see. Here is... Doc on WGN. Go ahead, Doc.
Hey, good morning. Hey, Tom, I got a question for you. I've heard that some manufacturers might give you a new car if you get your car to 1,000,000 miles. Wondering if you've heard about that.
Well, there's no policy for that, but both Volvo and Mercedes-Benz, brands that are known for longevity, have celebrated the owners of vehicles that have done this. And there is a gentleman in Sweden that had driven his beautiful P1900, which is a car that the Saint drove back in the TV show.
Oh, wow.
I think he took that to 2.5 million miles, and Volvo was just so happy with the publicity they gave him a brand new Volvo. I don't know that there's a fixed policy for this, but if the manufacturers can get some publicity out of it, and you've actually got a car that legitimately went 1,000,000 miles, I would certainly go after them with a letter or two.
Yeah.
I'm a bank courier, and I got an 08 Honda Civic. Had all the service done at the dealership. I'm at 971 right now.
Whoa.
Wow.
I'll hit 1,000,000 in March.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
That's fascinating. And I tell you what, if you go to the Consumer Guide website, just shoot me an email and contact us, and I'll see if anyone at Honda wants to talk to you about that.
All right, Doc.
Very good. All right, I appreciate it.
All right, take care.
Enjoy the show as usual.
There you go. Thanks. All right, Tom. A couple quick texts here. Ken says, I'm interested in buying a Ford Flex. What does Tom think of that car?
The Ford Flex is going to go away pretty soon. I like the Flex. The Flex, for people who don't know, is the really strange-looking California-style, different-colored roof crossover that Ford launched, I think, in 2009. Never sold well in the Midwest, but they're really popular in California. But Ford is going to be discontinuing it soon. I like the vehicle a lot. It's a great vehicle for four or five people to drive around in. It's roomy. Not particularly fuel-efficient, but I think it's cool-looking and fun.
Okay. Dave says, what are your thoughts about Ford's aluminum truck bodies?
I'm just fine with it. I think the funny thing about Ford's aluminum trucks is that it got the weight of a Ford truck down to the weight of the other trucks out there. It didn't really turn out to be a huge advantage. But Ford's doing a lot with the aluminum. I don't think it's a detriment of any sort. It certainly hasn't hurt Ford resale values, so I think that the market has spoken.
Since we're running out of time, I quickly want to mention that if people go to Consumer Guide, if they go to CG Daily Drive blog, they can see the 10 vehicles with the best resale value and the 10 vehicles with the worst resale value. And I know a lot of people would be interested in that art and that piece. What did you do to research this one, these articles there, Tom?
Yeah, I was reached out to by an organization called iccars.com, and they measure resale value by tracking the asking price of vehicles on their website when new and what they resell for 5 years later. So it's a great way to do it based on transaction price. And that's how they calculated those. So I'm using the numbers delivered to me by iccars.com.
Right. And Jeep Wrangler Unlimited seems to be at the top, and regular Jeep Wrangler at the top of the best resale.
Yeah, the best resale stuff is almost all 4x4 trucks. The only exception is the Subaru Impreza.
Okay. And then the worst resale, you've got the Nissan Leaf and the Chevrolet Volt. Those top the worst.
Yeah, electric cars do poorly in resale value. One of the things about that is not included in the transaction price, but affecting the overall cost to the owner, is the federal tax credits that were applied to it. So automatically, these cars are $7,500 more expensive looking than they are.
Mm, okay. By the way, there's a few more stories that we didn't get to from the newsletter. You guys covered the SEMA show?
Yes.
You talked about test driving the 2019 Kia Forte X and the 2019 Toyota Avalon Touring.
Yep.
And I want to make sure people know that that's out there, too. And I found the SEMA article to be fascinating. I didn't even know that existed, that thing existed. That sounds like a fun show.
SEMA is one of the biggest conventions in America. It is just acres and acres and acres of aftermarket parts, and no one can go there and cover the whole show.
Yeah.
But the great part about it is that manufacturers hook up with these aftermarket suppliers, and they just put together the craziest looking things. It's great.
It sounds like a blast.
Coverage is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I read the piece, and it sounds like a blast, and I wanted to make sure we mentioned that. And all of this
stuff can be
seen at consumerguide.com or cgdailydrive.com, and you can follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. Tom, always a pleasure. Have a fantastic Thanksgiving, and I'll talk to you in December.
Well, you too. Thank you.
Okay, buddy. Take care.
Take care.
There you go. Tom Appel, everybody. Consumer Guide Automotive. You can follow him on on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. News is up next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we are here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran, my main man, at 6 for your morning drive. It is Tuesday. That means 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in now, 312-981-7200. One artist, two songs. Get them in now, 312-981-7200. We're going to be talking about words that you think mean something, but they mean something else, and some old-timey sandwiches and other fun topics that we're going to get to. Our phone line is 312-981-7200 for talk and text, 312-981-7200. You can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. November 11th, this Sunday, is Veterans Day, and we love to talk about the Road Home program at Rush. Will Byersdorf is the executive director of the Road Home program, and the Road Home program is a really great organization. It provides support and counseling, mental health services, and it helps veterans and their families heal and cope with the invisible wounds of war. Their website is roadhomeprogram.org, and you can also call 312-942-VETS. That's 312-942-8387, 312-942-VETS. And we want to talk about all the great things that this organization does and some of the events that are coming up. And let's bring Will onto the show. Will, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, Nick, how's it going?
Good.
Nice intro there. You had it all down there, Pat. I love it. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. First of all, thank you for your service. We appreciate that, obviously.
You're welcome.
And tell me about the Road Home program for people who might not know what it is. Let's get a background on it.
Sure. So again, the Road Home program is going into almost its fifth year. We're a program that helps vets and family members deal with these invisible wounds of war. And I also try to include life as well, too, because sometimes things happen either before or after, you know, a man or woman service. But we help deal with post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injuries, military sexual trauma, and a variety of other things that a man or woman might experience while they're serving in the armed forces, whether, you know, in combat or even in training or whatever the situation might be. So the Road Home's been open since, goodness, it's hard to believe, over 4 years now. And when we first started, Nick, we had 7 clinicians and staff members, and we were servicing probably 40 or 50 vets and family members. And now today we have over 75 clinicians and staff members, and we're serving 500 to 600 veterans every year, and that's going to continue to grow as we continue to expand.
You know,
so very exciting times.
It's so great to hear these numbers, because we've been talking about this program for years now, you know, and
yes.
and every year we like to have somebody from the program on to talk about it, and to hear these numbers increase every year is so amazing. It really is.
Yeah, we've been very, very fortunate to have the support of Rush, you know, the University Medical Center, the community at large with foundations and corporations. And just recently we had a significant grant given to us by the Wounded Warrior Project, which is going to help us continue our operations for another 5 years. So very excited, very grateful for the support we've had from the community, you know, from the donors and the folks. And more importantly, probably the greatest asset, Nick, with the Road Home is that, you know, men and women who come to our program, vets and family members that come to our program, they're sharing kind of the services and the programming they get, and they're our best referral source. And so many people are coming in and getting the care that they need, and they know that they're coming to a place that they can trust and rely on. So we're very, very grateful.
Let's hear about your background, Will. When did you become a part of the Armed Forces?
So basically, it's a long story, but to try to put it like, keep it short and simple, I was going to college at DePaul University, and I just, honestly, I was running out of money. I needed some opportunity to see if someone else could help me pay my university, and just happened to be walking down Broadway Avenue, across the armory there, saw that there was the National Guard Armory, and that there was tuition reimbursement and loans and other types of opportunities if you joined the service. And I remember my grandfather had served in World War II, so I thought, hey, this would be a great honor to kind of replicate that. And that's how I got involved with the Army National Guard and served in support of Operation Desert Storm, and then transferred over to the Naval Reserves a few years later, and then also served in support of Enduring Freedom. So you had a lot of different stints and opportunities of service. Nick, the greatest thing that I learned, though, is that as I was going through, as I initially had wanted to find some help for college, I really became a part of something greater than myself, something bigger than myself, and really loved serving and really enjoyed the experience, even through the hardships of the deployment. So it was an honor for me to serve, and I miss it greatly.
And then the Road Home program came to you. How did that happen?
Yeah, so basically Dr. Pollack, who actually came from Mass General Hospital, had started a similar program out at the Mass General Hospital in Boston called the Home Base Program. And he came to Rush University Medical Center, I believe in early 20, I think, the spring of 2011, and he was becoming the new chair of psychiatry at Rush, and he wanted to start a similar program. So they began the search, and they found me in May of 2013, and he asked me to come on board to help start the program and develop something similar to what he had started in Boston. And for about a year, a little less than a year, we worked hard to get the program up and running, find staff, and through great generosity of, you know, many foundations and donors, McCormick Foundation, Crown Foundation, and others, we opened our doors in March of 2014 and began servicing and taking care of men and women, dealing with the invisible wounds of war.
And so if veterans or their family members would like to get a hold of you guys, and how do they go about doing that or becoming part of the Road Home program?
Yeah, the easiest way, I mean, you go online, www.roadhomeprogram.org. You know, you can go and learn more about us. You can call. You gave the number. The other thing, too, is you can check out our Facebook. You know, there's a lot of events, a lot of activities that we have there. I was going to share with you, we have every Tuesday, I think every second Tuesday at our Chicago office, we have Do You Love a Veteran group for folks to come and learn more and participate. And we have a lot of other activities where we engage with the community so people can learn more about us that way. But probably the best thing to do is if people want to learn more, they can just call us directly, and we can spend some time and share with them who we are, what we do, and just give us the opportunity to see if we can help. And if honestly, Nick, if we're going through a situation with somebody or a family member and we know that we're not at the right place, we're going to try to find a place that's right for them, you know, if it's not a fit at Road Home. So it's really a team effort in trying to help serve this community.
And do you have folks that have been with you since almost the beginning who are still part?
Yes. Yes. It's funny. There's probably seven or eight people, you know, from the beginning, or probably six people, I think, from the beginning, because we were just a little less than 10 people when we started. But, it's incredible. We've had very little turnover. There's always people that are leaving and going for their opportunities, but people really love working at the Road Home. One of the greatest assets I think we have is that, with Dr. Pollack, you know, being the head of psychiatry and he overseeing us, he really allows us to really focus on what the veterans and the family members need. And same with the Rush, you know, Rush University Medical Center. They allow us to do our work unencumbered by all these other little things that might be going on and stuff. So I think that's the greatest asset, is that they really let us serve the vets the way we serve them. And that's the other thing too, Nick, is that regardless of ability to pay, regardless of insurance you might have, whatever it might be, regardless of discharge status. So if someone is, you know, has less than honorable discharge status, we take care of people, Nick. We take care of them, and it doesn't matter. And if you can't pay, it doesn't matter either. We'll find a way to take care of you and make sure we reduce that barrier to care.
That is amazing. Roadhomeprogram.org or 312-942-VETS, 312-942-8387. In addition to clinical care and research, family therapy, post-traumatic stress disorder, and military sexual trauma, you now offer video visit, which means if veterans who live in like a rural area or a hard to get to area, can actually have a face-to-face meeting with clinicians or specialists. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. You've done your homework, Nick. I love it. One of our biggest challenges is always getting people to Rush, right? Because we're centrally located.
Right.
So video visits is something that we've deployed to help us work with vets and family members that can't get to the office. In fact, that brings up a good point. We've opened up a clinic down in Effingham in Illinois, and actually using this technology down there. So again, it's just, we're trying to explore and find different ways to let the vets get connected to us and figure out how we can work with them, especially with Illinois. People don't realize Illinois is a very large state and very
yeah.
expansive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so getting people, trying to connect, even with getting people to Effingham from certain parts of southern or central Illinois is difficult. So the video visits has been a great asset in our tool mindset and helping, you know, care for vets and family members, and it's worked out very well.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about the fifth annual turkey drop, and that's on November 15th. Wanted to make sure we talk about this.
Yeah, so the Bears Care Foundation, Jewel Osco, MillerCoors, and, of course, the Road Home Program have come together to do our annual turkey drop. I think we're giving away approximately 600 turkeys and meals to vets and their family members. And so if people want to learn more, they can go to our website, roadhomeprogram.org, or go to our Facebook page and register. I'd highly recommend that people register quickly because those turkeys are, no pun intended, flying off the shelf here. Out of the Jewel Osco there, but it's a great opportunity, and so it's held at the Jewel at Canal and Roosevelt in the city there, and it's a great opportunity for people to come and learn more, and the Bears and Jewel Osco and MillerCoors have been really great partners in that for these past 4 or 5 years.
That is so great. So it's free turkey meals for veterans, and you can also get information on the website. It is November 15th. From 5 to 8 p.m. at the Jewel Osco on South Canal. I'll be passing out frozen turkey meals to veterans, and you can register there, too. Will, it was such amazing work that you guys do. Congratulations on all that you do and all the people that you've helped over the years, and continued success, Will.
Thank you, Nick. And again, I can't express enough or encourage people, if you have questions or you want to learn more, don't be afraid to ask. Go to the website or, you know, again, just call us. We're here to help. And we really, you know, we really want people to know that, you know, we're a trusted place where people can come and get care. And, again, it's nice, discreet. And again, we're here to help you.
Got it. All right, Will, thank you very much. Happy Veterans Day to you, too.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, take care. Will Beiersdorf, everybody, Executive Director of the Road Home Program, an incredible, incredible group that supports counseling and mental health care services, helps veterans and their families to deal with the invisible wounds of war and life. The Road Home Program, you can go to roadhomeprogram.org is the website, or anytime you have questions and you don't be afraid to ask or to be involved if you are a veteran or a family member. 312-942-VETS, 312-942-8387. All right, we're going to take a break here on 720 WGN. All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and in just a little bit, we're going to talk about words that don't mean what you think they do. Well, we don't know what these words mean, and we misuse them. So we're going to talk about some of those, and what are your pet peeves in that department or some of your favorites? 312-981-7200. Two for Tuesday coming up. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. One artist, two songs. Get your requests in right now. And we will play them in a little bit. Hey, I want to remind everybody, a week from tonight, next Tuesday, November 13th, is my next film club screening, and it's our tribute to the late, great Burt Reynolds, one of his best movies of all time from 1974, The Longest Yard. Not only a very funny movie, not only a very rough movie, great prison movie, one of the best football movies ever made. Burt Reynolds stars as a former pro football player who is thrown in jail and decides that he is going to participate, put a team of inmates together so that they can play the guards. It is a great movie, incredibly entertaining. I remember the first time I saw it at Ford City Theater in Chicago when it first came out. I was just a kid, 1974. My folks and I went on a Saturday night. The theater was packed. There wasn't an empty seat. And during the last 45 minutes of this movie, during the whole football game, I have not been in a theater. I very rarely have been in a theater that went as nuts as everybody did during the last 40 minutes of this movie. Lots of laughing, lots of cheering, lots of squealing, lots of applause. It is one of those movies that is best seen with a big crowd. So we want to pack the place next Tuesday. And again, this is a movie that doesn't show up on cable very often, and it very rarely gets screened in a big, beautiful movie theater. We have the 4K digitally remastered version of it with great sound and great visuals. We're in the Premier Theater at the AMC Rosemont 18, formerly Movieco, on the second floor with the big plush love seats. There's a full bar if you guys want to have cocktails, show up a little bit early, have some dinner in the dining room, get some food at the concession stand downstairs, bring it up to the dining room, hang out. 8 o'clock, we all go into the movie theater. I will introduce The Longest Yard. We'll watch the movie together, and then afterwards, I will give you some tidbits and some facts and some trivia about the movie, and we'll do a little Q&A. This is a really, really great movie. It's only $10 to get in. Parking is free, and very, very rarely does The Longest Yard get screened on the big screen. It is one of Burt Reynolds' best movies, and we wanted to pay tribute to Burt. So we're doing it a week from tonight, the 13th. Tickets are on sale right now. Reserve your seats right now. They'll be waiting for you when you show up next Tuesday. And that's amctheaters.com. amctheaters.com. Reserve your seats right now. $10. Parking is free for The Longest Yard with Burt Reynolds. And we're going to have a blast watching that movie. I'm very excited about this one. So we'll see you a week from tonight, November 13th. AMC Rosemont, 18. Parking is free. And The Longest Yard next Tuesday. Reserve your seats now, amctheaters.com. All right, we'll take a break. The news is coming up next, and then we're going to talk about words that don't mean what you think they do. Welcome back, everybody. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, Two for Tuesday. That's artist, two songs, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. 815 area code, picking Boomtown Rats with Mary of the Fourth Form. That's funny, Dan, picking Boomtown Rats because... leader of Boomtown Rats is Bob Geldof, and he's portrayed in Bohemian Rhapsody because he was the guy behind Live Aid, Bob Geldof. They got a guy that kind of looks like him, but he's wearing a real bad wig. He's just got a bad Bob Geldof wig. So, but yeah, Boomtown Rats. So there you go. You know what their biggest hit? You know their biggest hit, Dan? Boomtown Rats?
I do.
Yeah. Everybody, I don't like Mondays. And the other connection that's really funny is that also in this movie, Bohemian Rhapsody, Kenny Everett is portrayed. Kenny Everett was a real guy. He was a DJ. He's the first guy, one of the first guys to play Bohemian Rhapsody on the radio. And he also went on to star in a comedy series called The Kenny Everett Show. And the band that appeared most on The Kenny Everett Show was the Boomtown Rats. This weird connection here going on with this Bohemian Rhapsody movie. Now, the guy they got to play Kenny Everett, you know, they never say his last name in the movie. They just call him Kenny. It's a very brief scene where Freddie appears on his radio show with the 45 for Bohemian Rhapsody, and he plays it, and Kenny Everett plays it. But he looks like Kenny Everett. The guy playing him, and I was probably the only person in the theater who knew who Kenny Everett was. Because it was a really obscure sort of British, like, really wacky show. Like, Kenny Everett was wacky. If you were to look up The Kenny Everett Show online, you would see wackiness. Wackiness would ensue. And he was popular in the late 70s and maybe into the early 80s. He passed away. He passed away pretty young, if I remember correctly. But... I used to love The Kenny Everett Show. I bet nobody even remembers The Kenny Everett Show. But I was like, anything that, you know me, Dan, anything that was British and comedy, well, anything that was British I liked, basically, because I loved all British horror. I liked British actors a lot. I really loved British stuff when I was a kid. And this Kenny Everett thing, I want to say it was on Channel 32. And it was on, like, it was late at night, like on Sunday or something, or a Saturday night. And it was really popular in Britain, but it wasn't, I don't think it was very popular here. But I've met people over the years, you know, people who people like me who got into Python at a very early age and then, you know, moved on to Dave Allen at Large, moved on to the Two Ronnies, moved on to... you know, the Black Adder and obviously Fawlty Towers, anything that was British, I just immediately, British wacky comedy, I was way into. And Kenny Everett was nuts. And he would have, like, the Boomtown Rats on, like, every other episode. And so when I'm watching Bohemian Rhapsody and I see a guy and they refer to him as Kenny and he looks exact, the guy looked, and he had Kenny's mannerisms down. He had, and he's a very wacky dude. And he had Kenny Everett's mannerisms down. So I was like, oh, my God, there's the guy playing Kenny Everett. And then, of course, in the credits, they give him his full name, you know, instead of because they just call him Kenny in the scene. He's only in one scene. But I was very excited to see some guy playing Kenny Everett. a British comedy show host that nobody knows. Oh, man. So, anyway. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. And, you know, we like to talk about language and phrases and grammar and stuff like that. The Reader's Digest put together this list of words that probably don't mean what you think they do. And these are, obviously, a lot of these are misused. Most of them are misused because people think they mean something that they don't. 312-981-7200 for your talk and text and a triple, or not triple play Thursday. Good, I'm moving ahead 2 days. Two for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs. 312-981-7200. But what words do you think are misused all the time? Let's start with this one. Let's start with literally. This is one that makes people crazy. And the explanation here says this is literally one of the most misused words in the English language. And by the way, that's used correctly. What's the matter to say? The majority of the time that people use the word literally, they misuse it. But that's correct. In that sentence, that is correct. This is literally one of the most misused words in the English language. It is often used as a way to emphasize something that happened. I literally died laughing. The word actually refers to something that actually happened without exaggeration, such as the tornado came through, literally destroyed every house in its path. So, like, if you literally died laughing, you'd be dead from laughing. And people use that word, Danny, you know this. I mean, people use it all the time incorrectly.
Right. Yep.
Oh man! I got so mad, my head literally exploded. No, it didn't, because your head would be exploded. Your head would be all over the room.
You would not be able to speak.
You would. That's exactly right. You would be in scanners. You'd be in the movie scanners, because your head would have literally blown off. And it's one of those things, you know. Whenever we talk about phrases and words and things like that, and we do very often, I mean, you know, my pet peeve.
Surely.
Is I could care less. And I don't, but, and again, I don't want it, because I'm not the grammar police. I don't, you know, go out of my way to correct somebody. Like, if someone says, I could care less, I don't go, oh, whoa, whoa. The correct phrase is, I couldn't care less. Couldn't, not could, because if you could care less, then you could care less. Like, less. There are things about it there are things about what you're talking about that you would actually care more about or care less about. But yeah, but I'm not one of those people that goes, no, oh, sorry, but it's actually couldn't care less. But I will say this, when I hear someone say I could care less, there's a little thing in my brain goes, I get like, and the same thing with literally. That one happens when I hear people say literally my head exploded. I'm like, I don't say anything. But in my brain, I'm like, no, that's not what you know. No, so Dan, you hear literally. Do you kind of just in your mind go?
Sure, yeah. I mean, that, you know, that one. If nothing else, it's always like, all right, was that correct or was that not correct? And it kind of expanding it out. We had a coworker back in my customer service days that used supposedly and correctly. and was sometimes call it supposedly. So anytime I hear supposedly, it takes a beat for me before I can continue on.
Yeah.
You know,
because you're like, did they just say that correctly? Or what are we talking about here? All right. How about this next one? Peruse. P-E-R-U-S-E. Peruse. Many people believe the word peruse means to read something quickly. In fact, the opposite is true. Peruse means to read with thoroughness or care. Used correctly, you would say, I spent at least an hour perusing this report so that I fully understood it. Do people use the word peruse to mean quickly?
This was one I discovered I am using wrong. I have used peruse like as a quick scan as opposed to a actual like deep read.
Oh. Yeah, and
I've always heard it associated with newspapers, and you peruse a newspaper.
Yeah,
you know, you typically don't, you know, when you're in a waiting room or something, and it's on the thing, you're just kind of leafing through it.
And the way they use it is then they would use the word peruse. And you know, the other thing is peruse is also used not just for reading, like people use it for like shopping. Let's peruse through the, you know what I mean? And it's not just strictly I thought that's what was going to be the way it was used wrong, because people say, I'm going to peruse this, I'm going to peruse that, and it has nothing to do with reading. All right. Now, here's one you would think people would understand, I guess. Terrific. This is one of the words in the English language that has become completely disconnected from its origin. It's often used as a compliment or to describe a good feeling. That outfit looks terrific, or I slept great and feel terrific today. However, the origin and proper meaning of the word are completely different, and it means very bad or exciting fear. It does sound like terror, after all. You might hear something like, I just saw an absolutely terrific accident on the way home from work, which would sound strange in modern language. Okay, so I misuse terrific all the time then. I guess I wasn't aware that was the actual origin of that word. So I am absolutely guilty of using terrific in the wrong way. And it would sound weird to say, "Hey, I saw a terrific accident," wouldn't it sound weird because we're so used to it?
I think that's one of those where it's the pendulum has swung so far the other way that you can't go back.
No question about it. And that's happened with a lot of words. You know, they change meaning because people use them. Well, you know, ain't is in the dictionary. And when I was a kid, if you used ain't, you got yelled at. You got corrected. You know, there's no such word as ain't. That was really, really, really frowned upon. It was very bad grammar. And because ain't has been used by so many people over so many years that it's now in the dictionary, and that's the case with a lot of these words that people either misuse or don't understand or mispronounce, and then they become words. How about ambivalent? Ambivalent. Most people think the term ambivalent means you don't care about something. In fact, the word means that you have a contradictory or mixed feelings about a subject matter. Not that you're apathetic. Used correctly, you could say, I'm feeling quite ambivalent about where to go on vacation this year. I can't decide whether I want to go to the mountains or to the beach. Okay. All right, we got more words here. What are some of your pet peeves, if you want to jump in here? 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's take a quick break here on WGN and return after this. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, 2 for Tuesday. You be 2 for Tuesday. One artist, two songs, you pick them. We play them a little bit later on. 312-981-7200, 815 area code with Boomtown Rats. I don't like Mondays. Hey, coming up, Steve Grzanich with the opening bell, and coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. We've been talking about words that are misused, and that some people just might not know the actual meaning of. Canadian Bill says one word people use and is part of the dictionary is unthaw, which means to freeze. Yeah. See, people use that incorrectly as well. I have to unthaw a pot roast for dinner tonight. So what I mean, you're going to freeze it? Because it's thaw a pot roast. 301 area code says, oh man, I am literally guilty of overusing the word literally. Well, all right. Sounds like a thing. 312-981-7200. If you want to jump in, here's Paxton on WGN. Go ahead, Paxton.
Hi, guys. Thanks for making my English lesson plan this morning. I'm going to use every one of those.
All right.
One that I still don't understand, can't figure out, and I hear it every weekend when I watch the Bears, the best offense is a good defense. Are you emphasizing the offense over the defense or the other way around?
Yeah, that's the best offense is a good defense. I guess that means that if you stop the other team from scoring, that's going to help your offense.
Right.
But doesn't it mean if you're always running the ball and ramming it down their throat, you don't need a defense?
Well, I think it's more that in terms of just literal interpretation of the game, if a defense gets the opposing offense off the field in three downs, which is their goal every time, your offense gets another opportunity. So by default, the more chances your offense has to be on the field to make plays, the more likely they're going to score and therefore win the game. So your best offense.
Wow, that's profound. So.
No, but that's right. Yeah. That's true, though. That's absolutely true.
That's, all right. Hopefully that's right. Or is it, let us hope that's right. But I think you got it.
All right. All right, Paxton, thanks.
Take care.
Is that used in other sports? It's used in other sports.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it applies to every sport.
It certainly does.
I mean, there's another phrase that's commonly said, you know, a defense wins championships, you know. It's the core. The offense gets the highlights. The offense gets the glory. But in the end, if you don't have a good defense, it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
Like, a good defense will usually stop a good offense.
That's true.
Where a good offense may not necessarily overcome.
And that's and that's just not exclusively football. That's right.
I mean, look at the Hawks when they're in their glory days. It was Keith pushing the ice,
right.
not necessarily all about Kane and Taves.
Yeah. All right. How about, here's another word that people misuse that might not know the meaning to. Irregardless. We've heard this many, many times. This is a grammar stickler's pet peeve. There is no such word. That's right. While it's popular in certain dialects, irregardless simply doesn't exist in the English language. The word you're looking for is regardless, as in regardless of the cost. They said they're going to have a destination wedding. Yeah. I can honestly say I have never used the word irregardless. All right, how about this one? Disinterested. While many people believe this word means you're not interested, the original meaning of disinterested refers to a lack of bias or being fair and impartial. We needed a disinterested judge to decide the case. To indicate that you're indifferent about something, you should use the word uninterested. Oh, yeah, that's correct. That's correct. All right, how about this? Bemused. People sometimes use the word bemused in place of amused, but the two are not synonyms. In fact, bemused means you're confused or bewildered. My friend really likes this movie, but the complicated plot left me bemused. That's the right way to use that word. Yeah. That's like, you know, what's another one is anxious. Anxious. You know, anxious is not that's a negative word. You know, some people think, oh, it's exciting. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm anxious. I'm anxious to do this. I'm so anxious to see the movie. I'm so excited about it. I'm so anxious to play the game. The core of that word is anxiety. That's what anxious means. It's not a good thing to feel anxious. You know, it's like, you're frightened, you feel anxiety, maybe your heart's palpitating a little bit. That's anxious. Anxious is not, that's not a good word. And somehow it's become that. It's become like, hey, I'm feeling anxious to do this. But that's, you know, anxious means you're feeling anxiety, which, trust me, I've felt that before. It's not, anxiety is not a good feeling. It's not something you should be happy about. But that word gets used like that all the time. So, how about grizzly? When you hear the word grizzly, you probably think of the bear, ferocious and wild. However, the term grizzly means gray or gray-haired. Wow, I didn't know that. The only exception is if grizzly comes before bear. The proper word to describe something that inspires horror or fear is grizzly. Oh, it's with an S. I see. It's one S, not two Z's. Oh, I get it. But the word grizzly is used, because I've used it to describe horror movies for many, many years. That movie has a grizzly scene, and that's G-R-I-S-L-Y, not G-R-I-Z-Z-L-Y. Now, I will say this, though. Okay, so I've mistakenly if I've written about a horror movie and I've used the bear spelling and I've made that I've honestly made that mistake. I have not used the one S. I used the two Z's. But I will say this: I had no idea it meant gray or gray haired. I did not know that at all. Okay. All right, we got a break here, and then more words that we maybe have misused. All right, we'll be right back. Is it New Wave Day? What's going on, man? I'm not complaining. It's Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, Two for Tuesday. And we move from the Boomtown Rats to Simple Minds now. 773 area code for Two for Tuesday. I promised you a miracle. That's like one of the first. That's one of the first Simple Minds songs I remember hearing. Yeah. So, all right, Two for Tuesday. That's what's happening. 312-981-7200. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Hey, a little bit later on, we're going to be talking about vintage sandwiches. You just don't see them very often, but you can make them today. You know, I was looking at that article, Dan. There's some weird stuff on there. Some weird sandwiches. So, right now, though, we are talking about words perhaps you don't know the meaning of. Or that you've been misusing, like literally, or peruse, or terrific, or ambivalent, irregardless, which is not a word, disinterested, bemused, grisly. All right, how about this one? Entitled. Oh, I know where they're going to go with this. Are they going to, okay, let me guess here, Dan. They're going to say that when you say that a movie is entitled something, that's the wrong. You can't use.
You are correct. Too many letters.
And I've heard that. I mean, I've heard that many times when people say it's entitled. A film that's entitled. Yeah. Most people know the word refers to the rights that a person has and is often used in a negative connotation, like entitled brat. Oh, Ferris Bueller. However, others use it to describe the actual title of a book or a movie, which is not standard English. To use the term properly, you would say, after his great uncle died, he learned that he was entitled to half of the estate, and only used the term titled to refer to movies, books, and the like. How about electrocute? People often use electrocute to mean shocked, when the actual definition means to kill with electricity. It's a blend of electro and execution. I've used that before. I have used that before. I got electrocuted. No, you know, like if you get a shock or something, you go, oh, I got electrocuted. No. The origin of the word, which was coined in the 1880s, means that a shock that is fatal. The prisoner was put to death by electrocution. So you can't get electrocuted if you're still alive. I'm guilty. I've used that in the past. Terry says, dispositive. 630 Erica says, two words in common usage whose meanings I do not understand, organic and pragmatic. Can you explain? Organic definitions, relating to or derived from living matter. Two, of food or farming methods produced or involving production without the use of chemical fertilizers, pesticides, or other artificial agents. Three, relating to a bodily organ or organs. And four, denoting a relation between elements of something such that they fit together harmoniously as necessary parts of a whole. They're organic. They all belong together. And then pragmatic is dealing with things sensibly and reasonably and realistically in a way that is based on practical rather than theoretical considerations. All right. 816 area code says, many people confuse and misuse imply and infer. How about noun words like orientate and commentate? The 219 area code says, I literally hate hearing conversate. Yeah, well, that's, I think that's mentioned in this article, conversate, which is not a word. Okay. So organic and pragmatic, those are different. We've got the full definitions for you there. All right. How about irony? This commonly misused word isn't a synonym for coincidence. Some people think it refers to a situational randomness, such as, isn't it ironic that we're both here on the same day? Ironic and irony actually refers to the opposite of what you expect to be. You know what's ironic? Our pilot has a fear of heights. Should we send this to Alanis Morissette? A little too late? I mean, it's not ironic if it rains on your wedding day. That's not ironic. What are the other ones? It's like rain on your wedding day.
You need a spoon, I think, and all you have is a fork.
I think that's the only actual ironic statement in the entire thing. But like you said, rain on a wedding day, a free ride that you just can't take.
Something when you're already late. Is it something when you're already late? She describes bummers. They're all like bummers. They're not ironic.
Rain on your wedding day, a free ride when you've already paid.
Uh-huh.
Good advice you just can't take.
Yeah.
Black Fly and a Chardonnay.
See, that's not ironic. How is that ironic? How is a Black Fly and your Chardonnay ironic?
Won the lottery and died the next day. Are you also a huge fan of Alanis Morissette, Vic? Is she up there with Snow and Savage Garden?
Not even close.
Not even close to Savage Garden.
Well, you couldn't get away from that song when it came out. Yeah. I liked it for about the first 3 days, I think.
Yeah. And Alanis Morissette. Now, didn't she do an updated version of that of the song, like a wacky updated version? Like, maybe within the past couple of years or something?
I think she did something with James Corden.
Oh, okay. Well, that, sure, why not? Because the video takes place in a car.
Right. I think, that's funny. Yeah. This is not a soundstage, but I think it's just bummers of the modern age as opposed to.
Oh, so they just updated the bummers, correct the ironic.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you know, used your arm instead of a selfie stick that was right next to you because you didn't notice it, stuff like that.
What? I don't know why I find that so amusing. Use your arm when there was a selfie stick available. All right. Well.
Try to use Waze, and no smoking sign when you brought your vape. It's 10,000 male late night hosts when all you want is just one woman seriously.
Singing the Jew out of your dreams, and then Alanis Morissette shouting at you. Isn't it ironic? Don't you think?
A little too ironic. And yeah, I really do think.
I like Corden's intonation he used on with the question mark. Don't you think?
Yeah.
He raises his voice.
All right. That wasn't in a car, was it?
Oh, it was at a soundstage.
That was actually on the stage in the because. He should have done it in the car. Why wouldn't he get, you know, the video was done she was in a car.
Another reason for you to dislike him.
I mean, what? What? I mean, the guys know that's the one thing that James Corden is known for is singing in a car with other people.
So that would be ironic to not do it in the car.
I guess. Well, is that what? Would that be ironic to not do it in a car?
if the definition is that it goes against what you would expect,
right?
Like a pilot being afraid of heights, then the guy who's known for singing songs in cars not doing a song that was originally based in a car, not in a car. I think that is correct.
Okay. Well, then maybe he made he did that on purpose. Then
mastermind.
Yeah, I can't stand James Corden. The other thing that makes me crazy about James Corden is like he'll have Alanis Morissette on, all right? Like there. And he's always got to get in on the act. Why don't you let her, it's her song. Why don't you let her do the updated version? Why do you have to get in on it? He does it all the time. All right, well, I guess he's one up on us, Dan, because he didn't do it in a car, and that was ironic. I was being too obvious, yes. I guess. I was being too literal. All right. Let's take a break here, and we'll come back, and we've got more words that some people might not know the meaning of, but they use them anyway. You want to jump in with words, phrases, stuff like that? 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday, two Tuesdays. And that would be our second song from Simple Minds, All the Things She Said. Yeah, people forget it that Simple Minds had other songs than the song from The Breakfast Club. A lot of good songs, Simple Minds. Jim Ryan had a nice conversation with Jim Kerr. Seems to be a very lovely man. So, was once married to Chrissy Hynde, for God's sake. That means he gets a pass for life. Okay, we are talking about words that some people use, but they don't use them right, and they probably might not know the actual meaning of them. Next is impeach. This doesn't mean toss the bum out, despite what you've heard. The standard definition is to bring charges against a person, which may or may not lead to his or her removal. For instance, the senator was impeached because of misconduct, but was allowed to return to office. That's correct. Pristine. This word is often used to refer to a room or environment that is sparkling clean. However, the true meaning of the word is not spoiled or altered by civilization, meaning that the area is in its original state. For example, the undiscovered beach is in pristine condition. So, you know, it's in pristine condition, but it might not be clean. See what I mean there? Because you're going to think that the beach is clean, but it might be dirty, but it's still pristine because it's not been spoiled or altered by civilization. Okay. Alan in North Carolina, I was a grammar Nazi in TV newsrooms for 30-plus years. Public education is to blame for not properly teaching the following. Is, are, was, were, done, went. Yeah, I think so, but I wouldn't blame it on public. I had a public education, Alan. Not in high school, but the first 9 years that I went to school was in public school. 815 area code. Me is entirely acceptable when it could stand alone, such as he wanted to talk with my friend and me. Now everyone replaces me with I, and they make it plural, as in eyes. What? I've never... What? Plural as in... So if there's one more than I, it's eyes? Just the letter I with an apostrophe S? I've never heard that before. That's completely ridiculous. 219 area code says, ain't is not a new word. In 1706, it was originally a contradiction of am not, and in proper use with that sense until it began to be used by a generic contraction, as in for not, is not, etc. in the early 19th century. 920 area code says, a phrase that drives me nuts, general consensus. All right, I can see that. I can see that being kind of annoying. A 630 area code, incorrect word usage, things happen by accident, and you may do something on purpose with intent, not the other way around. All right. 708 area code, decimate or decimated, Latin for 10%, goes back to the Roman Empire. And then some people say orientated when they meant oriented. It's true. There's a lot of words that get added syllables when they don't need them. All right. How about refute? This word is often used as a synonym to rebut or deny, such as I refute the insinuation that I lied, the real definition to prove wrong by argument or evidence. Used properly, you would say the lawyer refuted the defendant's claims by presenting several witnesses who saw him at the scene. All right. Dilemma. While most people understand the word dilemma invokes making a difficult choice, the standard definition is to make a choice between two unfavorable options. Therefore, saying something like, I have a dilemma. Do I want to eat the donut or the pie? That's incorrect. Unless you don't like donuts or pies. And you're not looking forward to it. Do I have to eat the donut or the pie? The proper use of the word has a much more negative connotation. The prisoner was faced with a tough dilemma. Should he accept the jail time or turn in his friends? Hey, so I guess the Ron Howard movie got it right then, because that was an unfavorable situation for Vince Vaughn to be in. So, yeah, that was a true, they got it right. The Ron Howard movie actually got that definition right. Chris, very good. All right. All right, a few more words here that we're going to go through. If you guys want to jump in, 312-981-7200. That's our phone number for talk, text, and, of course, Two for Tuesday, one artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. We got more words that are misused and misunderstood. If you want to jump in with words and phrases, you do that as well. Let's take a break here because the news is coming up right after this. Two for Tuesday, everybody. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. One artist, two songs. Get your requests in now, 312-981-7200. Jay selecting Sally Field as the Flying Nun with Felicidad. Today is Sally Field's birthday. You know how old Sally Field is?
How old?
She is 72. Sally Field, 72. And still not old enough to be Forrest Gump's mom. Hey, welcome back, everybody. We got some request lines open here. If you want to get your Two for Tuesday request in, get it in now, because you'll get it played. So do that right now. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. Get those requests in now, and we'll play them in a little bit. We got request lines open right now. 312-981-7200 for Two for Tuesday. All right. Hey, man, we're back, and we're talking about misusing words and phrases and things like that. 847 says, flammable and inflammable mean to catch fire quickly. Non-flammable means to not catch fire. 301 says, Nick, because Corden is British, shouldn't you love him? Isn't that ironic? Hold on a minute. Wait now. I guess that might be true. 727 area code says, how about happenstance? Does anybody say happenstance? Is that a do you hear that in common conversation, Dan?
I do not.
Very rarely do I hear happenstance, unless someone's trying to be goofy. Carolyn Williams Bay says, how about the word nonplussed? Mary says the phrase, absolutely correct. If it's correct, it's already absolute. Oh. Okay. And how about the phrase, how about that?
How about that?
Okay. And more words that we might not know the exact way to use them. Fewer/less. The words fewer and less are often used interchangeably, but they have separate meanings. The term fewer refers to an actual amount you can count, such as The little girl received two fewer pieces of candy than her brother. If you can't count the items in question, then the word yes, that glass holds less water than that pitcher. Okay, so it wouldn't be less candy. She has two less, she received two less pieces of candy. That's wrong. It's fewer. If you can count it, it's fewer. If you can't count it, it's less. Just keep that as shorthand if you're going to use either one of those words. Oriental. The obvious definition of the word Oriental is of or related to the Orient. The word is used to describe things, a rug, for example, but never people, and that use is considered offensive. Yeah, back in the 70s, that was used all the time. All the time. Concerning. This is often confused with a similar-sounding word, disconcerting. An upsetting situation or action is disconcerting, but concerning only refers to when you're referencing someone or something. For example, you talk to a teacher concerning your child because his behavior had been disconcerting. In other words, saying his behavior is quite concerning is incorrect. Look at that. They use both words in one sentence and explain them both. That's right. You talk with your teacher concerning your child because his behavior had been disconcerting. Very clever. All right, how about this? Momentarily. While many people use the word momentarily to mean in a moment, the definition of the word is for a moment. In other words, if you tell someone, I'll see you momentarily, it means you'll be seeing them in a minute or two, not that you'll be seeing them. Wait a minute. You'll only be seeing them in a minute or two, not that you'll be seeing them in a minute or two. Used properly, you would say, we momentarily lost power in our house when the storm passed through. Oh, okay. How about this? Enormity. Enormity. Because it resembles enormous, people think the origin of the word enormity refers to a very large object or situation. However, the word means evil, great evil, or wickedness. Here's a fun fact. Enormous also means, also used to mean an evil or wickedness up until the 19th century, and the definition of the word enormity seems to be evolving as well. If you want to be a grammar purist and use the term properly, you would say something like, the enormity of the vicious crime was shocking to the entire community. Conversate. Like irregardless, conversate isn't a word. It's listed as non-standard in the dictionary, meaning that it doesn't conform to a standard language. People use it in place of converse. The girls wanted to conversate with me about... That sounds just so... I mean, that just sounds so wrong. How would anybody... conversate? I've never... Dan, have you ever... I mean... That just sounds wrong. Like when you
right. I have heard it, but it's usually like in a business lingo stuff. Like we've got to conversate about that.
Really?
Yeah.
That just, as soon as you hear it, you go, no. I mean, no, that's not a thing. So, however, if you want to be grammatically correct, remove that word from your lexicon and simply use the word converse. Yeah, obviously. Factoid. Many people believe a factoid is a small snippet of information, such as a piece of trivia, and the word is evolving to mean that. But the original definition of the word factoid is a made-up fact that was believed to be true because it appeared in print. Combination of the word fact and oid. Oid is a suffix that means resembling. Think humanoid. More accurate use would be, that politician was spewing factoids about his opponent, even though none of his claims have been substantiated. All right. Nauseous. Oh, this is a good one. This is a good one. The definition of the word actually means causing nausea. while its linguistic relative, nauseated, means that you're feeling or suffering from nausea. If you tell someone you're feeling nauseous, you actually mean you're causing others to feel sick, which may or may not be true. Used properly, you would say, that burrito I just ate is making me feel nauseated, not nauseous. That gets used all the time, though. Nauseous gets used in that regard all the time. Misnomer. Some people use the word misnomer as a synonym of misconception. It's a mistaken idea. However, the definition is an error in naming a person or thing. In fact, using the word misnomer to describe a mistake is a misnomer in itself. For example, the term koala bear is a misnomer. They're not bears at all. They're marsupials. Oh, I see. And then finally, ultimate. While the meaning of the word ultimate has evolved to mean the best, the Latin origin of the word means that it's the last in a list of items. To use the word properly, at this moment you would say the word ultimate is the ultimate word on the list, because it's the last one here.
A couple more texts that have come in. 870, the phrase near miss, you either miss or you connect. 815, when someone is talking and almost every other word is or you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
630, what about the word whatnot?
Okay.
A newer phrase that is overused is at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's used a lot, at the end of the day. How about, did we get any text for it is what it is?
We did not get any is what it is.
I'm surprised. Because whenever we talk about like phrases or language, it is what it is comes up frequently to the point where people are like, I can't stand that.
Right. 847, unique. Meaning something is one of a kind. So when people say very unique, it drives me nuts.
Okay. All right. Well, for that, as far as ultimate goes, then that's why when you say penultimate, that means second to last. So that's why ultimate does mean last. But a lot of people have used ultimate to mean like the best. But they have. But penultimate, obviously, is the word that you would use. That would be second to last. The penultimate episode of a TV show was not the finale. The finale was the ultimate episode of it. The penultimate episode was the second to last episode. So. All right. That's from Reader's Digest. A lot of people texting us on that one. So. All right. We're going to break here. We got some weather to do. And then after the weather, we're going to talk about some vintage sandwiches that you can make today. And another couple of food items that we're going to get to. Love talking about food here. And if you want to jump in at any time, it's 312-981-7200. And again, 2 for Tuesday, get your requests in. We got some open request lines going right now, so you can get yours in now. It's a one artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. Get your requests in now. Yeah, 2 for Tuesday. It's Sally Field's birthday today, and Jay picked his 2 for Tuesday for Sally Field. That's Optimize. 2 for Tuesday, yeah. Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Coming up at 5 o'clock is Steve Grzanich with the opening bell, and at 6 o'clock, Steve Cochran with your morning drive. On election day, make sure you get out and vote. Polls are going to open in a little over 2 hours. Make sure you get out there and cast your vote. Coming up now, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right. Hey, nothing like a good vintage sandwich, right? Right, Dan?
Yep.
Yeah. By that, I mean a sandwich that I've had in my fridge for 33 years. Hold on a minute now. Wait a second. Hold it now.
All right.
See, I was old. See? All right, here are some vintage sandwiches that you can make today. And some of them are just weird. How about this one? The apple and grape sandwich. If you've ever made weird sandwiches, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you want to jump in here, weirdo sandwiches, 312-981-7200. So, apple and grape sandwich. A sandwich can be many things. A snack, a dessert, a weird salad you eat with your hands. This dish is a great example of all of the above. Start by chopping up apple, celery, and white grapes. Toss the ingredients together with French dressing. Spread your mixture on thin slices of buttered white bread and make your sandwich. No. It's just, that's just weird. The white buttered white bread with the, although, I mean, those are obviously all things that are fine to eat. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. I don't know if I've, yeah, well, I guess French dressing with that would be okay. And then you spread it on your thin slices of buttered white bread to make your sandwich. I guarantee you, if you brought that to work, nobody would steal it from the fridge. I know that much. I think that might be the case for a lot of these sandwiches. Maybe that's where they came from. People got sick and tired of coworkers ripping off their sandwiches from the fridge for lunchtime and decided to make really unappealing sandwiches. Like, here's an apple and grape. Go ahead, steal it. It's an apple and grape sandwich with some celery and some French dressing on buttered white bread. Enjoy. Enjoy. Even my name's on the bag, but you go ahead and take it because it's an apple and grape sandwich. All right, how about this? An oyster sandwich. Well, how's that unusual? Well, I'm thinking of an oyster po' boy, which would be breaded and deep fried, and that's not the case here. Like oysters on the half shell, the shellfish in this sandwich are garnished simply with oil, lemon juice, and Tabasco sauce. Mix together these ingredients and finely chop the raw oysters and serve on a thinly sliced piece of white bread. Add a lettuce leaf for some extra crunch. What's with the white bread? Not that I don't enjoy it. But see, that sounds fine. That's just chopped up oysters with Tabasco sauce, which is, you know, delicious. I mean, I think it sounds a little weird to serve it that way, but all of those ingredients are fine. Little lettuce leaf, that's fine. All right. All right. How about this one? I'm intrigued by the name of this vintage sandwich. And the vintage sandwich is called the Hot Ham Number 2. Hot Ham Number 2. This is from a book here that you can get. The second take on a hot ham sandwich is reminiscent of a Monte Cristo. After spreading minced ham onto buttered bread, assemble the sandwiches and cut them into triangles. Dip the sandwich points in a mixture of beaten eggs, milk, and salt, and cook them on a hot griddle. Once the sandwiches have been fried, French toast style, serve with a slice of roasted tomato. Well, that sounds good. It's similar to Monte Cristo. Minced ham on buttered bread. Cut them into triangles, the sandwiches. Dip the little points into beaten eggs, milk, salt. Cook them on a hot griddle. When they're fried, French toast style, add a roasted tomato. That sounds fine to me. Hot ham number 2. let's see. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's Rick on WGN. Go ahead, Rick.
Oh, hi. Yeah, when I was a kid, it sounds disgusting, but it actually is really good. We would have peanut butter and pick-a-lily.
Peanut butter and pick-a-lily sandwich?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're great.
Oh.
I haven't had one in years, but I remember exactly how it tastes.
Oh, okay. So you would spread some pick-a-lily and some peanut butter, and then, boom, go to town.
That was it, yeah.
Okay. All right, Rick, thanks.
Okay.
All right. That does sound a little weird. If we discussed the difference between, and this is the, we've discussed this, I think, in the past, Dan, difference between pick-a-lily and relish. I don't know if there is a difference between pick-a-lily and relish. I know that there is a that really bright green relish. I don't know if that's what they call piccalilli, but I always thought piccalilli and relish were pretty much the same thing. But you do have that neon green relish that you find on certain hot dog plates. Like, for instance, Superdog puts the neon green. They put the neon green relish on their hot dogs, and I don't know whether they refer to it as piccalilli or relish. But I've always thought that was just that term was interchangeable. Like, relish and piccalilli were pretty much the same thing.
Let's see here. According just to a quick search, it seems like piccalilli is a type of relish.
Type of relish.
So you're technically right, but more in the fact that any piccalilli is a relish. A relish may not necessarily be piccalilli.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So it's a relish, but it's a specific kind of... It falls under the relish family. That's true, because relishes are not just... You know, the word relish doesn't necessarily mean pickle. You could have relishes that are made of a completely different ingredient and still be a relish. That's why they call the thing a relish tray, because there's different kinds of relishes on there. But when I say relish... I immediately think of the pickle relish that you put on a hot dog, but I guess we should be more specific and say pickle relish as opposed to relish, because as we've just discovered, or as we've known, that there are many, many kinds of relishes. So, but piccalilli and peanut butter, Dan, did you care to give that one a try?
Nope.
Well, you don't like peanut butter.
I do not.
Do you like piccalilli?
I do.
But not together, because you don't like peanut butter.
Correct.
Okay. All right. More of vintage sandwiches. Get your apple and grape sandwich ready to go. That one sounds that's one of the ones that I think you bring to work so that people who steal your sandwich won't steal it. But the other one, the oyster sandwich, that sounds fine. The hot ham number two sounds really good. And we've got more vintage sandwiches that you can make today to deter people from stealing your lunch. That's the goal this morning. All right. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. Have you ever had peanut butter and piccalilli? Let's hear about it. 312-981-7200. The news is coming up right after this. Two for Tuesday continues. The great Etta James at last, requested by John. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday here. 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio on the 18th floor above beautiful downtown Chicago. We're here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 on this Tuesday morning. The great Steve Cochran has your morning drive at 6. We are talking about vintage sandwiches, including the fantastic apple and grape sandwich. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to jump in here with some thoughts on that. It is election day. Make sure you get out and vote. Less than 2 hours, the polls will be opening. So get out there right now and get ready to go and cast your vote and let your voice be heard today on election day. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's see. Here's Dave on WGN. Hi, Dave.
How you doing?
All right.
Nick, man, it's great to be on your show. I love it.
Thanks, man.
I love your show, man.
Thank you, buddy.
I used to work with this guy that had large sandwiches for lunch.
Okay.
And that's all he ate. He was a Polish guy named Gorky.
Uh-huh.
And I had to do ladder work with him.
And he would just have big sandwiches?
The white bread with a slab of lard on it.
Oh, man.
And he was stronger as hell. The guy was strong. Little guy. He could haul a 40-foot ladder around a building.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. That's all he ate.
Wow. So he basically,
I was cleaning windows with them.
Big giant sandwiches with slathered with lard.
Yeah, and wow. He'd offer me one every day. You know, he'd had sausage some days, but then he had lard the rest of the week.
Wow,
and that he was a grown man, big little guy.
Well, there you go.
It was amazing, man. I never forget it.
Yeah, I've never heard that before, but that's pretty interesting. All right, Dave. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Nick.
All right, man.
Good luck.
Take care.
Great show, man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Gorky and his lard sandwiches.
and something to be thankful for. Get a big, large sandwich for Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, man. Mm. Nothing like a big, large sandwich. Dan, you ever have a large sandwich?
No.
Yeah, neither have I. Apparently they're good for you, though, because Gorky was a very strong man, Gorky. All right, let's see. Oh, look at this. Remember, we were giving away tickets to see Private War, and Debbie was our winner. Hey, Debbie.
Hi, how are you?
All right, what'd you think of the movie?
I thought it was a fabulous movie. It was very good. Oh, good. To be honest, I had never heard of Marie Catherine Colvin.
Uh-huh.
It shines a light on what so many other people do for us in our lives that you just don't even know who they are.
Yes.
I think there are so few people that I'm really aware of. I think during the Iraq War, there were more personalities, say, that you heard from, that I heard from, that names I knew, but
yeah.
I didn't know who she was.
Well, by the way, for people who didn't know, we gave away tickets to a private screening of this movie called Private War, which doesn't open for a couple of weeks, and it was last night was the screening, right, Debbie?
It was. Yeah, it was just last night. It was great. Wonderful movie.
And Rosamund Pike is the star of the movie. She's a terrific actress, has been nominated for an Academy Award, and based on a true story, and we're all looking forward. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Well, congratulations. Thanks for listening. I'm glad you liked the movie.
Oh, it was great, and thank you.
Okay.
I'm glad I woke up in the middle of the night. And
Very cool. I'm glad you liked the movie. Okay, Debbie, thanks for calling back. I appreciate
it. Thank you very much.
There you go. So Debbie was happy about that movie. It's nice to give. It's nice to give stuff away that people enjoy. Unlike apple and grape sandwiches, are we going to give any apple and grape sandwiches away?
You going to make them?
No. So
everybody, next Friday in front of 303 East Wacker, start lining up now.
We'll be handing out apple and grape sandwiches. All right. Let's see. Here's Dan on WGN. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Nick, how you doing?
All right, man.
I used to have that problem because I would make what I do with my peanut butter jelly, I put butter, peanut butter, and jelly, and the sandwich weighs about a pound.
Uh-huh.
And somebody kept stealing them out of the refrigerator, but nobody fessed up to it. So I took a regular pop can, smashed it down as flat as could be, and I put it on the sandwich, left it in there. Somebody took it, but I still don't know who took it. They never fessed up to it, though.
So you flattened a pop can and put it in there.
It's flat, yeah, because my sandwiches are always heavy.
Right.
I only eat one sandwich, but it's it's a meal in itself.
Oh.
But I put that can right in the middle.
Well, that's a way of deterring. I guess that's a way of deterring or at least punishing the people that are stealing your sandwiches.
Yeah, either that or if you're really sick, just spit on the sandwich.
Right.
Yeah. then you'll know who took it.
Exactly. All right, Dan. Thanks, buddy.
All right, man.
Take care.
All right.
That's it. That's it's a lot of ingenuity right there. Aaron, I'm going to crush a pop can down and stick it in the middle of this sandwich. But I mean, I will say this: it's really not cool to take somebody's lunch. I mean, that is just like. That is just unbelievably uncool to do. And I think it's one of the reasons, another reason why it's sometimes, preferable to work the hours that we work, because there's nobody else here. They're not going to steal. If you bring like something to eat during the course of the show, nobody's going to steal it because there's nobody here. And if somebody did steal it, I would just run up to one of the three other people that were in here.
Go, we all know it's Vic.
We all know it's Vic. Vic, where's my sandwich?
What are you talking about?
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that was Nick's impression. Vic did not walk up to the mic.
Oh, no, that was not. No, no. I know I sound exactly like Vic.
Just exactly like it.
But, all right, here's Glenn on WGN. Hi, Glenn.
Morning, Nick.
Hi.
Hey, I got two sandwiches for you, both of which used to toss people's idea of having my lunch. One was a good old-fashioned Braunschweiger, you know, liver sausage
sure.
sandwich with a really thick slice of onion on it, you know. And then the other one, though, is the one my dad introduced me to, is a carnivore sandwich, which is the raw hamburger with minced onion on the top, a little bit of seasoned salt.
Oh, man. Wow.
Now, I dressed it up a little bit, and then we do it like a steak tartare, which is the tenderloin cross-cut and really fine, and with a little bit of Worcestershire sauce and minced onion on the side to sprinkle over the top of the dark rye mini-tar breads. But, yeah, that kind of made it look a little less, homeschool type of stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, the liver sausage. I love liver sausage. I love the.
Oh, me too.
Oh my God. Yeah. That sounds like a dream sandwich to me. A big slice of onion and some liverwurst, please.
I'd eat that. And then it's so easy. It's so easy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Completely. All right, Glenn. Thanks, buddy.
Sure. Bud.
Little raw meat there, Dan. You up for a little of that?
Nope.
All right, let's see. We got some text coming in. 312 area code, pocket meat. What does that mean? It just says pocket meat. Pocket, well, he used to do sports on the morning show. Yeah, pocket meat! Yeah! Can the person from the 312 area code who texted just the two words pocket and meat, could that person explain?
You know, that was right at the top of the segment, so who knows? That might have been a leftover phrase from last segment that I just didn't like.
I hate when people use the term pocket meat.
I mean, I just thought it was applied to the sandwiches, but I could be wrong.
It could be the other topic, yeah. Pocket meat.
Now we have to use pocket meat in conversation.
Yeah, we have to. All right, we have to break here for more pocket meat. For the weather, and then we'll talk more sandwiches and pocket meat. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here until 5. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and And Steve Cochran at 6. 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday! And John selecting Etta James with Something's Got a Hold on Me. Welcome back, everybody. We are talking about some vintage sandwiches that you could make today. Bring them to work and nobody will steal them. We've got a few more here that we're going to get to. And we got some texts. And is this the person who actually sent the text?
I'm not sure, but he's got a good explanation if he doesn't.
Okay, 312 area code sent a text that just simply said pocket meat. And this is Dan. Dan, did you send a text?
Hey, Nick. Yeah, I did. I love your show.
Thanks, man. What is pocket meat?
It's meat that you put in your pocket, Nick.
What? So you just carry meat around in your pocket?
Exactly. So on my job, I don't have the luxury of having a fridge or a microwave. So what you do is you just put meat in your pocket, and your body keeps it warm, and you don't have to worry about people stealing your sandwiches. Maybe pickpocketers, but you're not going to steal it because it's in my pocket.
So now I'm assuming you put it in like a Ziploc bag in your pocket, not just a bunch of loose meat sticking in your pocket.
Yeah, I don't put a lamb chop in my pocket. I put it in a plastic baggie.
Okay, all right. So it just that makes sense. I mean, the term pocket meat makes sense for what you're describing. Absolutely.
Yeah, pocket meat. You got to try it.
Okay. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Nick.
There you go. I love that he was just like, that was a common thing. You know what I mean? Like, pocket meat. You know, that thing where you put put meat in your pocket and you walk around. Nobody can steal it. See, that's how desperate people have gotten. That's how bad it's gotten that people are stealing people's lunches and that they're walking around with meat in their pockets. Well, how did you stop people from stealing your sandwiches? I walk around with meat in my pocket. And haven't you ever heard of pocket meat? Oh, man. 630 area code says, fry homegrown tomato, mayo, and peanut butter. If you like all those ingredients, you must try it. It's delicious. It all. I mean, the peanut butter part sounds a little weird, but I like the other stuff. 312 area code says Mr. Rogers showed peanut butter jelly with popcorn. It was like a yummy popcorn ball. 331 area code says bologna, lettuce, American cheese, mayo, potato chips on white. Well, that's a classic. Classic. That's going to get stolen. Let me tell you right now. You bring that sandwich to work, put it in the fridge, gone by 11 a.m. 773 area code says, when there's nothing in the fridge, my buddy doesn't hesitate to make an onion and mustard sandwich on white bread. Yeah, I guess you could do worse. Tom from Bartlett says, I just spit up my oatmeal talking about these sandwiches. Was it when we said pocket meat, Tom? Was that when it happened? area code says, I put sliced tomatoes and a half a bell pepper between two slices of wheat bread. Then I butter both slices, salt and pepper to taste. See, that sounds fine. Little tomato bell pepper sandwich, little salt, little butter. That sounds fine to me. Does not sound crazy at all. All right. How about a lemon sandwich? This is another vintage sandwich that we can all try. Not many recipes feature whole lemon slices as the star ingredient. After removing the rind from the slices, dust them with powdered sugar, stack them between buttered slices of white bread that have been cut into circles. Candied cherry goes on top to reduce the pucker factor. Everything is buttered white bread on these vintage. I guess that's because it's vintage sandwiches. How about this one, the dairy sandwich? Oh, Dan, I think I might like this one.
I think it's a safe assumption.
The word dairy is in the title of the sandwich. I believe I might like it. The dairy sandwich stays true to its name. The simple recipe asks you to spread fresh butter on thin slices onto thin slices of Swiss and press the cheese together. There's no mention of bread, suggesting that it's literally meant to be a butter sandwich served on two slices of cheese. Unfortunately for sandwich purists, the protein in place of bread theme has only gained traction in the last 100 years. Now, see, I would, you know, a butter sandwich with the bread being two slices of Swiss and a nice glass of whole milk. How about a lobster and caviar sandwich? Well, sandwiches aren't typically associated with fine dining, but even luxurious ingredients like lobster and caviar can shine between bread. For this recipe, spread caviar onto lightly buttered bread and sprinkle with lemon juice. Spoon minced lobster meat on top and cover with a second slice of bread. Serve over a lettuce leaf, ideally on the beach, with some chilled wine to wash it down. All right. Here's Barbara on WGN. Hi, Barbara.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to tell you that what I learned when I worked at my kid's school, they could label everything science project.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah.
All right. Talk to you later. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. I don't know. Dan, that works at a school. She worked at a school. It's not going to work here, right? Like if I bring a bag lunch and I write science project on it, I mean, what, you know?
I mean, we've got enough youngsters patrolling the hallway. I mean, it might be Kaufman's kids, Miles. It might be his.
Who knows, man? Wow. All right, science project, but that's good though, especially if you work at a school. That's pretty cool. Yeah, this is a science project. Leave it alone. But really. It's an apple and grape sandwich. All right. How about an olive and nut sandwich? Unlike peanut and jelly, olive and nut never caught on as a popular pairing. This recipe calls for sandwich builders to finely chop olives and English walnuts, combine the ingredients together with mayonnaise, serve on buttered brown bread. The mixture makes for a light sandwich that's big on texture. See, that sounds fine to me. Yeah. Okay. All right. We got some more texts that are flying in. We also have some more vintage sandwiches that you can enjoy before somebody steals them from the fridge. But we got a break here. The news is up next. Two for Tuesday, man. Yeah. Two for Tuesday. Trucker Gord requesting some Helix, Young and Reckless. He thought I might like them because they're a Canadian metal band. All right, man. Nothing I like more than Canada and metal. Put them together and it's Helix. Thank you, Trucker Gord. Two for Tuesday here. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here until 5 a.m. And we've been talking about these vintage sandwiches. And then we've been getting a ton of texts here. Let me go through a few more of these sandwiches. How about the Farmer Sandwich? The Farmer Sandwich. Pork chops and applesauce are commonly seen together on the dinner plate. Here, they come together on a sandwich to make a savory sweet lunch item. You can put this one together by layering thickly sliced cold roast pork onto white bread, topping it with applesauce, and cap it with a second slice of bread and dig in. Boy, white bread is really being used on this collection of vintage sandwiches. People enjoy their white bread. How about a tomato and horseradish sandwich? Here's another curious food combination that failed to stand the test of time. To assemble a tomato and horseradish sandwich, start by sprinkling thin tomato slices with salt. Combine a half a cup of horseradish with 2 tablespoons of mayonnaise. Spread that mixture on pieces of buttered white bread, of course. Place the tomato slices between the bread and enjoy your meal while clearing your sinuses out at the same time. A little horseradish tomato. How about calves liver and bacon sandwich? If you're not a fan of calves liver, perhaps the addition of bacon will change your perspective. Take the well-done liver, chop it up fine, then with crisp slices of bacon. Season with salt and pepper and ketchup. And serve on a lettuce leaf between buttered graham or white bread. How about the Easter sandwich? Whether or not you like you make it for Easter, this recipe could be saved for special occasions. Dip a crisp lettuce leaf into mayonnaise and lay it on a slice of buttered white bread. This buttered white bread. Fill the lettuce with slices of cold hard-boiled egg and sprinkle with salt and pepper. After the sandwich has been cut into squares, tie them with a lavender baby ribbon and present your guests with the world's most adorable finger food. Just remind them to remove the ribbon before taking a bite. That sounds fine. That's like an egg salad sandwich. What, I don't know. It's basically an egg salad sandwich. And then finally, oh, here we go. We're back to jelly. The aspic jelly sandwich. No list of early 20th century recipes would be complete without aspic. This retro delicacy is made by mixing gelatin and meat stock to create a savory jello mold. To prepare it for a sandwich, soak 2 ounces of gelatin into 1 cup of chicken stock until soft. Pour 3 more cups of chicken stock that will have to be seasoned with cloves, parsley, celery, mace, salt, and pepper. Strain the liquid into a dish and mix with shredded chicken before refrigerating. Once the gelatin has set, cut it into some fancy shapes and serve it on buttered wheat bread. What are fancy shapes? I wonder. What do they consider fancy shapes? All right. Is there such thing as aspic pocket meat? The gelatin in your pocket would not hold up very well if you had gelatin pocket meat. All right, texts coming in. 815 area code says rye bread, butter, thick slices of brick cheese, and a slice of white onion. That sounds fine. 312 area code says a McDonald's cheeseburger with Frito chips on it. I was creative on hamburger day at grade school. You got to use what you got. All right. 2224 area code says thick roast beef from Valley with their gravy warmed up. It's delicious. Well, it's just a roast beef sandwich. Hey, Dan, did you know that today is National Nachos Day?
I did not.
They're just showing a clip of it on Channel 9 News, and you know what they showed? Addison Russell flying into the Nacho Man.
Ah, Nacho Man.
The old classic Nacho Man. Yeah, it's National Nacho Day. So, There's big close-ups of now. I get to see Marcus eating nachos. That's always a pleasure. It's watching Marcus LeShock down some nachos. Let's see. 336 area code says popular weird sandwiches in the Southeast include peanut butter and banana sandwiches with mayonnaise slathered inside white bread. Yes, I've heard that one too. And the peanut butter and banana was that's like an Elvis thing too. Fried peanut butter and banana sandwich with bacon. He enjoyed bacon on his. I think Elvis enjoyed bacon on anything. Elvis seemed to be, in the later part of his life, a guy who would enjoy pocket meat. I don't think he had a lot of room in the jumpsuit, though, for the pocket meat. (laughs) 773 area code says tomato on white bread with mayonnaise. It had to be white bread. It had to be mayonnaise, not Miracle Whip, and I still eat them. 331 area code says I'm a teacher and a child where I taught would eat garlic butter spread on white bread, and it's the only type of sandwich he would eat. Okay, that's a little weird. Garlic butter spread on white bread? No. I mean, I like garlic butter, and I like white bread, but not just that and that combination. That just seems a little weird to me. 773 area code says, we had a guy who was stealing sandwiches, so we made one with a salt, pepper, Tabasco, and whatever else we could find. We caught the guy when he started gagging. It was a good thing you were in the room with the guy. Don't you think, like, one bite, you're like, oh. I mean, I don't think he finished it, right? Hey, I stole it. I may as well eat the whole thing. Let's see. 815 area code says, butter works great with peanut butter. Normally, when applying peanut butter, you can easily rip the bread. Butter prevents that. Oh, a little tip for all you pocket meats out there. I didn't know that. That seems like that makes sense. Yeah, but butter might rip the bread, especially if you're. I mean, if you got the soft butter, with the spreadable butter, that's one thing. But but nobody really uses stick butter, except in recipes, right? I mean, that's the only time I ever use stick butter. 847 area code says my husband eats peanut butter and sweet pickle relish sandwiches. Well, we were just talking about that. That's pretty much very similar to pickle lily, peanut butter and pickle lily. And my stepdaughter takes that sandwich to the next level by adding a piece of American cheese to it. Uh-oh. Now it's getting crazy. You got a pickle lily peanut butter sandwich and you're going to add American cheese to it? That's nuts. Rob says, I have bacon, lettuce, tomato with mayo on white toast. That's a BLT. it's no pocket meat, though. That's hysterical. Oh, okay. That would not make comfortable pocket meat, especially with the toothpicks in it. It wouldn't be good for your pocket meat. 312 area codes, what about a Scrapple sandwich? Scrapple's good. How do they technically describe? Can you look up Scrapple? How do they technically describe it? I've had it, and I like it. But a lot of people hate Scrapple and think it's disgusting. But I don't know what the exact definition of Scrapple is.
Traditionally, a mush of pork scraps and trimmings combined with cornmeal and wheat flour, often buckwheat flour and spices.
And then you fry it up, man, and eat it like a maniac. Yeah, Scrapple's good, man. And then, in a similar vein, the next text here, 773, says nothing beats a fried Spam sandwich. Yes, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Love me a good fried Spam. Good and good for you. Now, there's some pocket meat. You can eat Spam. Spam is good pocket meat. Because, you don't necessarily have to cook Spam. You could eat it. You could eat it just as is. Cut it up into cubes and put some toothpicks in it, and you've got yourself a high-class hors d'oeuvre. All right. We have a break here, and then more of these fancy vintage sandwiches and pocket meats. Let's see. Hey, what if you had a Hot Pocket? Would you put a Hot Pocket in your pocket? Would that count as a Hot Pocket pocket meat? Dan, would that...
Somebody call Gaff again.
You take a... Wrapping up Two for Tuesday. Trucker Gord with Helix, the Canadian metal band with their Animal House. Funny, I don't remember that from the movie. I don't know. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio on a Tuesday morning. Election day, about an hour and 10 minutes before the polls open. Get out and vote. Let that voice be heard. Do it. And then stay tuned all day for coverage and more right here on 720 WGN. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right, we've been talking about some vintage and weird sandwiches. Let's see, we got some other texts that have come in from you guys talking about some of the weird sandwiches that you enjoy. 708 area code says, thick cut bacon and peanut butter, don't knock it till you've tried it. Now that sounds fine to me. Bacon and peanut butter sounds fine. I would eat that. And add banana, and you've got yourself an Elvis. Got yourself an Elvis sandwich. 630 area code says, Oscar Mayer sandwich spread. Is that like, is Oscar Mayer sandwich spread, is that like deviled ham or something along those lines? Doesn't it sound like it would be like the deviled ham sandwich, Oscar Mayer sandwich spread? Or is Oscar Mayer sandwich spread like Miracle Whip? Because that's called a sandwich spread.
Mm. According to Chowhound, it was a plastic tube, just like liverwurst and Braunschweiger. And also apparently like bologna.
All right.
So it's spread.
All right. 224 area code says, from my college days, I would put a salad in between two slices of toast and then add Italian dressing. That's a salad sandwich, Dan.
There you go.
That's not... do you ever have sandwich? Pocket sandwich? Pocket salad? Now I'm just trying to think of all of the foods that you can place in your pocket and walk around all day and enjoy your pocket food. Let's see. 312 area code says, a pretzel roll with liver sausage and some cream cheese and chives. Yum. Now that sounds fantastic. That sounds unbelievable. 773 area code says, you can buy clear plastic sandwich bags which have printing on them that looks like mold. Nobody's going to touch that sandwich. Hey, that's good. That's pretty clever. That's I really like that. I wonder what company does that. So it looks like there's mold on your sandwich. Then that way, the sandwich thief in your office won't steal it because the sandwich thief doesn't want moldy bread. That's pretty good. All right, Frank says, cut a seven inch French bread, spread pesto on both sides, add roasted red peppers, sliced eggplant and provolone, few drops of olive oil, slap it together, put it in foil, bake it for 15 to 20 minutes at 350. It's delicious. I also put my cat's kitty litter in a sandwich to get back at someone for stealing my sandwich. Oh man. Let's see. 312 area code says, my sandwich is called a BAT, B-A-T. It's bacon, avocado, tomato on white toast, mayo, no lettuce. 847 area code, cucumber and cream cheese on cocktail rye. Well, those are just your little appetizer. That's your tea time. That's your high tea. Trucker Don says, one of my favorite sandwiches is thick sliced garlic bologna with Miracle Whip on raisin bread. Oh, the raisin bread kind of threw me. Everything else that you're talking about, thick sliced garlic bologna, Miracle Whip, I'm fine with that. The raisin bread, I don't know. I'd try it. I would certainly try it. 630 area code, grilled cheese avocado, onion, and mustard on your choice of bread. 224 area code says Colby Jack with Valley turkey on whole grain. Add light tomato, Oscar Mayer ready cooked bacon, and lettuce and tomato. Um, 262 area code. My dad told me during the Depression his mom would make them lard and sugar sandwiches. That's probably, you know, where that came from for Gorky. You know, maybe it was something he was raised on. His family had lean years, and they had to eat lard sandwiches. We've talked about that a lot about those, you know, the old time sort of recipes, the old school stuff that you would make that came from your financial,
right?
You know, like where you were and what kind of ingredients you can afford, or if you came from a family that had like 12 kids, you'd have to make the food last, you know. 630 area code says a ham slice, pineapple ring, cream cheese on bread. Wow.
A couple more texts. 630, we use cucumbers instead of tomatoes on a BLT.
Ooh. So what would that make that? That would make that a BLC.
Yeah. Spam now comes in single serve foil packets, which would be the perfect pocket meat.
Wait a minute. They do?
Apparently, according to 269.
How did I not know about that? I want my Spam even more convenient and easy to eat out of my pocket.
815 fried bologna. 219 liverwurst with bread and butter, pickles with a lightly salted green onion.
Yeah.
All on soft white bread.
Also, when you mentioned frying bologna, I just want to make sure that, you know, I mention this every time we talk about frying bologna. You've got to cut the X in the middle of the slice of bologna. Otherwise, it's going to dome up on you. And you don't want
helpful tip.
You don't want a curly or domed up piece of bologna, so cut that slice, that X, right in the middle of it, so it won't dome up on in the frying pan.
And we conclude with 870. Thanks a lot, Nick. Now all I want is pocket spaghetti.
I'm telling you, you could throw any food in your pocket and take it with you. All right, that's what I think that's the takeaway from the show this morning, is that pocket meat is awesome. So, what do we got going on tomorrow?
Kevin Powell.
Kevin Powell is going to be with us. Oh, K-Powell's. That means we'll hear a little Bill Withers. All right. Let's take a break here. The news is coming up after this.